eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Iowa and Ohio State fresh off their respective bye weeks as Iowa is traveling to Ohio State to take on the number two Ohio State Buckeyes in a primetime game that's going to be on Fox. David Eicholt, Sean Bock here, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, part of the Swarmcast. Sean, we had a nice little weekend off. We're back at it. How'd you end up spending your bye week? Were you able to get away for a little bit?
Yeah, no, I was able to get away, you know, do some fun stuff in Southern Illinois. So it was a good, weekend. Yeah, definitely was a good weekend. Nice to get away. Kind of feel a little bit refreshed, but as I got home, I caught a cold or something, you know, with the changing weather. My house, for some reason, my parents' house in Illinois is, like, dry. Like, it's very dry in here, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's, like, dust or what the reason is, but I swear, every time I come home, like, either my eyes are really dry or my throat starts to hurt, or it's something whack. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't want to place all the blame on them, but it definitely can feel it a little bit. But it's not anything horrible. I can toughen through it, but it's definitely just a minor inconvenience.
You'll battle through the adversity. I got, you know, people should have respect for that for sure. No, good to hear. I mean, you know, we had our bye week mailbag. We had plenty of content. And, you know, I think the bye week came at a good time. I think for the fans, I think for media members, and I think for the players, obviously, itself being that exact halfway point of the season, a good chance for Iowa to kind of reevaluate where they're at. But it does not get tougher than what Saturday brings. I mean, they're going to Ohio State. I think Ohio State's playing the best football in the country of anybody, maybe besides Tennessee. I know Georgia's probably still up there, but they had a sloppy few weeks. But Tennessee looks really, really good as well. But we'll dive more into that matchup a little bit later, Sean. But I thought it'd be, you know, start things off a little bit differently. We had a VIP mailbag that you answered during the bye week. And I thought there were some interesting questions I thought we should surface to the podcast itself. And I'm going to bounce around here. One of them that was very intriguing to me was, what three former Hawkeyes on offense would you take to turn this year's offensive woes around, and why would you take them? I'll let you take the lead on it. I thought that was a really, really cool question.
I mean, obviously, I think number one, you got to go with Brad Banks. There's really no debate there. I think anyone in the past couple of years would go with that. I would say wide receiver. I think I put Marvin McNutt just because he could kind of catch everything. And then at offensive line, I believe I put Tristan Wirfs because I think you could afford to put him at right tackle, because as we know, right tackle has been Connor Colby, I think, is going to be a really good player, but I think he's most suited at that right guard spot right now, or one of the left guard, one of those positions right now. So those are the three I went with. I mean, you know, I think with Banks having the ability to having a guy, I mean, I guess with an offense, if you don't have an offensive line, I mean, we see that. I mean, I know it's a different comparison, but we see that with the Chicago Bears right now, is that Justin Fields wants to move and wants to get outside the pocket a little bit, but he really doesn't have time to improvise or do any of that. And I think with an offensive line like Iowa's right now, Brad Banks would have his struggles, but still, I mean, that's an electrifying quarterback that you can, you know, move around the pocket, do different things with, roll out, and just make guys better. I'm not saying Spencer Petras isn't that, but I mean, he hasn't been that. And then with Marvin McNutt, like I said, I mean, Iowa really needs receivers. And I mean, he's been probably the best in this century. So I would go with him. And then, like I said, with Wirfs too, just a stable guy on the offensive line at that right tackle position. I think that would be really big for this Iowa team too. Who'd you go with?
You know, I've gone back and forth on this, Sean, just because do you take two offensive linemen? Do you take a running back? Do you take two wide receivers just to try to spark something? I think you have to take Brad Banks, number one. I think he fits what modern college football is about. And I want to say he was ahead of his time in that sense, because there are plenty of quarterbacks that could do similar things. But he's the first real guy that I can think of for Iowa at quarterback that just sort of really pushed that mobility to another level. He could make, you know, game-changing plays with his legs. So I think Brad Banks at quarterback. I'm going to go Sean Green. I just think as tough of a runner as he was, he could just make some big, big things happen. He won't be a factor in the passing game, but I really think that Sean Green would at least give you that sort of next level runner. He can make guys miss. He was elusive enough in the open field. He would truck over people. I mean, Doak Walker Award winner. And, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I'm not going to choose a receiver. And my reasoning behind it is, great quarterbacks make average receivers good. And that's kind of my, you know, I think you look at, obviously the NFL is a different story, but we've seen Tom Brady have some really bad receiver cores, still turns out MVP seasons. We've seen guys that really might not be effective elsewhere, but they're effective when they have a great quarterback. And I think Brad Banks is a great quarterback. So I'm going to go with, Robert Gallery. I thought, you know, maybe a Tristan Wirfs. I think you can make an argument. I think you can make an argument for Tyler Linderbaum and even Brandon Scherff. But I'm going to go with Robert Gallery, what he did during his Iowa career. I think if you get those three guys, you at least have some sort of more stability on the ground. And I think that would open up Iowa for the play action, more rollouts that Iowa wants to do. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I think you go with Brandon Smith too at that X receiver. I think that would be important too.
I think from a goal line perspective, certainly.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good point. I know people might want to throw in a Hawkins and a Fant, but do you really want to take, what's the point of kind of upgrading your tight end position just because there's so many other glaring needs on this Iowa offense? But I think you can make an argument for several players. And I think it gets interesting. I think the only one you really have to take, I think you have to take a lineman, and I think you have to take a quarterback. But we'll see about that. I thought that was an interesting exercise. I mean, if you ask me tomorrow, I might change it again, but that's really who I thought would at least help Iowa take that next step. And another question I really kind of wanted to hit, because this is going to be a very popular topic for the next several weeks and in the off season. Sean, what's Iowa going to do in the transfer portal? Where are the glaring needs? What do you attack? Because from my standpoint, Iowa has to hit the portal. If there's anything this season's Tom, they got to hit the portal.
Yeah, I think the priority, obviously on the offensive side of the ball, that's going to be the main priority. I think quarterback, you have to look at that a little bit, depending on what Spencer Petras says. I know people aren't going to like to hear this, or some people, but he has another year of eligibility left. And, you know, there is a chance for him to use that extra year of eligibility to stay at Iowa. That is, there's a very real chance of that. And outside of him, I mean, I think you kind of see where the coaches are at right now with the quarterback situation is, you know, we're riding with Spencer, and I don't know if it's because, you know, they trust Spencer the most. I think that's part of it, but it's also like there seems to be a big drop off from where Alex Padilla is, from where Joey Labus is. Not yet to give Joey Labus some time, because I think, you know, maybe in a year he'll be ready, but I think that kind of tells you what you need to know. And I mean, we know that Iowa went after a couple quarterbacks last year and the portal and didn't get them. And I think you need to go with that mindset again. You know, we don't want to speculate names because it's too early, but there are a couple guys that come to mind that I think would be really good fits at Iowa. So quarterback's number one. I think you got to go after wide receiver, one of those playmaker guys. I know it's going to be tough to convince some of these guys to, you know, play in a system like Iowa where maybe you don't get the ball as much as a receiver, but I think you can sell someone on the opportunity of playing at the Power Five level, and that will be, you know, probably something that they do. So I think the two that you really have to prioritize are those quarterback and wide receiver positions. I think they feel good about Logan Jones at center. You know, the offensive line, I think you can afford to give these guys another year. Maybe after next year, if things aren't working out, then you can go with the guy on the offensive line. But, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, and then potentially an offensive lineman, whether that be a guard or a tackle, probably a tackle, I would say. That would probably be the route I would go with, a tackle, just because, you know, you've had inconsistency at those spots, and, you know, they're you maybe can move Connor Colby back to guard. There's different ways you can go, but, you know, in order, I'm going to prioritize it this way. Wide receiver number one, quarterback number two, and then offensive lineman, preferably a tackle number three. And then I think defense, you can, I mean, who knows? Maybe they go after a cornerback or something too, because, I mean, well, Jamari Harris will be back. Terry Roberts, I believe, can come back. And then
I believe so too. And after all the injuries, yeah, I think he's going to have to.
Yeah, if he wants to play at that next level, yeah, definitely. I mean, you have Cooper DeJean that can play corner. You have TJ Hall, who the staff is really excited about. You have a couple guys coming in that could maybe play early, but, you know, not really sure at that cornerback position. So that's an area on defense maybe they could go with, but I think those three on offense make the most sense.
I think it has to be quarterback one, just from a strict immediate upgrade, the most important position on the team. And I do believe, and I have heard that depending on who enters the portal, I'm not going to speculate as to who's going to do that. I don't think it's fair to the players. I don't think it's fair to either program to speculate that, but I think there would be a few names that they'd be very interested in. And I think you have to hit two wide receivers in the portal. Like, Iowa has to find somebody, because I'm very intrigued what the roster is going to look like next year. Just from, you know, frustration level right now with what's going on, I think Iowa has not exactly managed the wide receivers the best in terms of pure numbers, Sean. I mean, they had two scholarship receivers available for the first 2 weeks. That doesn't happen anywhere else. And it's not the first time in the last decade that that's happened for Iowa. And three, if Iowa's offense continues to be kind of where they're at, you know there's going to be turnover somewhere. There just has to be. So I'm intrigued about what's going to happen there. I think they hit two receivers. They have to get a quarterback. And I'd push back a little bit on the tackle. I think if they want to give Caden Proctor a year to really get ingrained in,
right.
But you bring in a five-star guy that, you know, you'll take the growing pains because you just see his upside. And you put him at tackle, keep Richmond. Then, like you said, you throw Colby back at offensive guard. And I expect a big, big jump from Logan Jones next year. Like, as frustrating as the line is this year, Sean, I think we've talked about this before. Like, the potential for Iowa's line in the future is very, very high. Like, I'm still all in on what they can become.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think this offensive line, we had a lot of expectations coming in early for them. And, you know, part of that was due to Mason Richmond coming back, Connor Colby coming back. But if you think about it, like, these are all new guys. And it's not like, you know, Nick DeYoung or Jack Plum really, you know, proved a ton last year. And, you know, we kind of seen that this year. I mean, DeYoung's battled injuries throughout his career. And, you know, Plum's had a couple unfortunate things too. But with these guys, I mean, it's a very new group. And I think we really underestimated what this group could be and, you know, how good this group would be. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum, really good center, probably the best, one of the best, if not the best, that Iowa's ever had. That's tough to replace him with a guy who has not taken a snap in a game at center before this year. So those are key components of him. I think that leads into our next question too. Like, is George Barnett, Iowa's offensive line coach, a good coach? And yes, I mean, I think he is. I think from a recruiting standpoint, I've talked to a number of coaches or parents of recruits that, you know, they were sold on Iowa because of Barnett. He played a massive role in getting some of these guys in the 2023 class. And, you know, while that's got to go on to the field and performance, it kind of shows, you know, what kind of coach. And, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about him as a teacher too. And, you know, I think it's just one of those years that you kind of have to anticipate happening in due time. I mean, I know Iowa fans, and Iowa isn't used to it with offensive line struggles, because it's a program that is built and just identified on the offensive line. But, you know, with them having struggles this year, a lot of people have really haven't been able to come to, you know, realization that this group is young and this group needs time. And this group, I mean, is part of the reason why the offense has not been where it needs to be or where it needs to go. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that you got to live with.
And I think Kirk summed it up last time we talked to him. He said, this offense is what it is right now. I mean, that's just the reality, that the product that's on the field. And I agree with you. I mean, I think it's way too early to judge Barnett. I mean, we've talked to him one. I've had a few one-on-ones with him. Strikes me as a very genuine guy. I think he's beloved by his players. He's obviously a huge hit on the recruiting trail. I mean, this isn't a guy, Sean, that was thrust into this role. I mean, he's been coaching offensive line at the college level for, what, 20-plus years. Like, he knows what he's doing. So I think it's just a combined factors of its youth. It's Iowa not being able to retain the upperclassmen health-wise, or maybe they transfer. You know, entire offensive line recruiting classes just have kind of folded or not panned out. And that's with that in no way should represent what Barnett's doing, because he wasn't in charge of bringing those guys in. He wasn't at fault for what's currently happening there. So I think you at least give him till the end of next year, minimum. If not another year after that, Sean, I think he's recruiting at a high level. But with that being said, you have to see the continual improvement. And I think there's minor things they're starting to do better. But Kirk summed it up best. They just got to get better, and they got to get better quick. They just got to get better quicker if they want to salvage this season in any retrospect. And, you know, I think they have a chance to move forward against Ohio State. I think, just to kind of dive into the breakdown of this, Sean, I mean, Iowa's a 29.5-point underdog. I think it's the second largest spread that Kirk's been a part of, being the underdog. This does not have the same feel as 2017. Iowa's not going with alternate uniforms. It's not a night game. It's not, you know, Ohio State isn't coming off a comeback win. This is in the horseshoe. Ohio State has the best offense in the country, in my opinion. I think they're the best team in the country. And all they've been hearing for the past 5 years is 55-24. And, you know, when you and I were previewing the season
a couple months ago, Sean, I remember mentioning to you specifically, I just said, they're going to be motivated to play Iowa after that. It was Ryan Day's first year on staff in that 2017 year. And he was very vocal about it in a press conference this week saying, look, we mailed it in on Tuesday. We weren't practicing hard, and it's a scar and it sort of remains with you. So I don't think there's going to be any letdown by this Ohio State team. I think they're incredibly motivated to play Iowa, and they're fresh off a bye week. And from the sounds of it, they're getting their best player back in Jackson Smith and the Jigba. I mean, this is Iowa's toughest test without a doubt.
Yeah. If you're Ohio State, not only do you remember that 2017 game, but a lot of people have given Ohio State a lot of credit for their 6-0 start. I mean, I guess that Notre Dame win doesn't look as impressive now, but a lot of people have said, like, they haven't really played anybody. And while that's partially true, I think you have to really tip your hat to Ohio State and how they've just been able to blow teams out of the water. And doing that against Iowa would really set them up for games against Penn State and Michigan, the top 25 opponents that they still have on the schedule. And, yeah, I mean, you said, Dave, it's like Ohio State doesn't want to have what it had in 2017, because, you know, this team, I feel like, with really no favorite in college football this year. I mean, you can look at some of like Georgia, but obviously they've had some games where they almost lost. Tennessee has looked really good, but they have their weak points too. Alabama lost to Tennessee, and Michigan has looked pretty good too, especially with that win over Penn State. There's really no number one team in the country, and Ohio State can really solidify itself, and they want to solidify itself. And it's kind of scary to think about. They haven't had Smith Njigba, who, you know, had probably one of the best regular season four game stretches. And then that Rose Bowl performance where he had like 15 catches for 347 yards and like three or four touchdowns, yeah. Like ridiculous. And he's played 38 snaps this year. So getting him back and, you know, just the way that they've been able to take that step forward on defense from last year has really been impressive for Ohio State. And, you know, they want to prove that they can dominate, and they have a good chance of doing that on Saturday. But I think there's ways that Iowa can avoid that too.
Sean, they've punted the ball 15 times this year in 6 games.
That's nuts.
I mean, they're averaging 49 points per game. CJ Stroud, Hendon Hooker are the two top Heisman candidates, in my opinion. I think you can go either way with it. Mayan Williams is taking a huge step at running back. Travion Henderson, who I said before the season is the most underrated player in America, and he's the fifth player now you mentioned when you look at this Ohio State offense. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6 touchdowns. Emeka Egbuka, 30 catches, 512 yards, 5 touchdowns. Julian Fleming, 11 catches, 4 touchdowns. Cade Stover, pair of touchdowns, 13 catches, 200 yards. I mean, you just go down the list, Sean. I mean, what they can do offensively, it's really mind-boggling. And it's very intriguing to me about how they're going to match up with Iowa's defense, because Iowa's defense is the only defense in the country that has not allowed a play of 40 yards or more. I think Phil Parker's defense is based on preventing the explosive play. Ohio State goes after the explosive plays. How much are they really going to try to take the top off Iowa's defense in this game? And how quickly are they going to try to do that? I think that's something that's interesting to me. On the flip side, one of the most important keys to this game for me, Sean, for Iowa, is you have to get momentum quickly. First drive, you got to get a turnover, or at least maybe a 3-and-out. Just get some positive momentum, positive plays in your favor to say, hey, you know what? We came to Ohio State. It's a scarlet out. It's on Fox. Big new kickoffs there. We're going to try to hold our own. And I think the importance of getting a turnover on that first or second drive is going to be absolutely massive. And I'm still waiting on Riley Moss to have a breakout game. I think he's too good a player not to. I think this is a huge opportunity for him to kind of put himself back on the map as far as his NFL draft conversation goes, if he goes up against these wide receivers and holds his own. And what's Iowa's defense going to try to do? Are they going to just go all out and try to prevent the pass?
or are they going to try to stop the run and make CJ Stroud beat them? I mean, this Ohio State team has so many weapons. You can't take it all away, but what part is Iowa going to focus in on trying to stop? And just the matchup itself, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch.
Yeah, this is one of those games where, yes, Iowa stacks up well with Ohio State. I think from an Iowa defense to Ohio State offensive perspective. But, I mean, I think Iowa can stop the run game. But, I mean, Ohio State's been pretty good with the run. But also, this might be one of those games where, you know, you have to really stay on your P's and Q's with, you know, your passing defense and your coverage, because, man, if Ohio State gets one over the top, like, you're like, they're gone. Like, it's going to be one of those games where Ohio State's going to try and make it. Ohio State wants to make it a field day. They want to make it a track meet. That's what is going to work out best for them. They want to get the ball through the air. They want to get behind the safeties. They want to get to the second level. You know, they want, you know, the 4 or 5 second drops, and then, you know, hit their guy for a big gain. That's what they're going to try and do. Well, Iowa is used to keeping everything in front of them, containing and not allowing them to get past the secondary. But that's what Ohio State's going to want to do. And, you know, with a really depleted secondary too, that doesn't really bode as well for Iowa, I think. You know, I think Iowa has the athletes to keep up with, you know, those guys. But, you know, if Ohio State gets 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, you know, this one could get ugly fast.
Is this the game where potentially frustrations boil over? And I think this is something that's very interesting. I mean, like you said, if Iowa gets off the right track, Sean, and they go down 28-0 first half, what's the locker room going to feel like? And that's something I'm keeping a very, very close eye on. What's the body language the guy is going to be in this game?
Yeah. That's why I said, I mean, we're writing our preview. It'll be up tomorrow, Friday morning. I said, you know, what is the sign of life behind after the bye week? You know, you don't want to talk about moral victories, but what do you consider a win? I mean, yes, like Iowa has shown in the past that it can beat Ohio State and upset Ohio State, but those were under completely different circumstances. This Ohio State team, you know, do you consider a moral victory if you keep it under 20 points? Because if you get blown out, I mean, then things are going to be, you know, very, very, very outgoing and, you know, toxic from the outside. But, you know, I think we've said about every game this year, but this is one of the more important games of the season, because you can still finish respectably in the Big Ten West, you know, if you win the rest of your games after Ohio State, because Iowa has a chance to do that. But how likely is that? I think this game, this performance, you know, depends that, you know, what you do at the end of the year, the rest of the season depends a lot on this game.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a fan of moral victories, Sean. Football players and high-level competitors are not. But we need to be realistic here. If Iowa puts up two offensive touchdowns, and Iowa keeps it within 3 touchdowns, you feel a hell of a lot better with that than going to the horseshoe and getting blown out by 42 points. Based on what we have seen on the field this year, at least it shows people, hey, they're growing. They're doing something. And as crazy as it sounds, like, that's what Iowa needs to see right now. They need to see positive momentum within the program and on the field results, because, you know, I was in Illinois. Sean, that the watching the post game and being in the post game, Spencer Petras and the offensive players, I mean, you saw they looked broken. They just looked broken. I mean, all the hours of work that they've done, and they just can't find a way to put up points. And It's a very, very big deal, this team right now. And I tweeted the stat. I think I brought it up before, but Sean, we cover a team that has 39-3 since 2017 when they put up 21 or more points. 21, that's not a lot of points. And, yeah. You know, you don't, like you said, you don't really want to consider the moral victory, but with how many players are young in this program, you got to show some sign of life. You got to show some sign of progress. And there is no better opportunity to do that than against Ohio State in prime time. Just find a way to take the small steps that can lead to big steps as you get in the home stretch of the season.
Yeah. I mean, our mindset's, I mean, Iowa's mindset's obviously to go into that game and win.
Yep.
But from a big picture standpoint, I mean, you could feel a lot more better about this season if Iowa keeps it, you know, 17, 14 points. And I think that's doable. I definitely think that's doable. But Ohio State, man, like, if there's any team that could beat a team like Iowa by, you know, 30 points, it's Ohio State. But we'll see.
So to go back to, I guess, just kind of sum this up, Sean, keys to the game. Give me your final prediction.
Keys to the game. So I said it before. I think that first half or first quarter is going to be huge. I think if you keep Ohio State to one or two touchdowns, maybe one touchdown, then you maybe get a score after that first quarter. I think that could really set the tone. I do think Iowa needs also to have longer possessions. And, I mean, I put out that stat earlier about possessions, that how much more successful Iowa is as a team when they put together possessions of over 4 minutes. I think you need to do that. You need to keep the defense off the field. You need to keep Iowa's defense off the field for as long as possible. So longer possessions are going to be key. Putting together those 3 to 4 yard runs, those occasional 5 or 6, you know, and doing what you need to do to get those first downs. I know it sounds cliche, but that's what needs to happen.
What's your final score prediction?
I went with Ohio State 38, Iowa 10. But, I mean, you can make an argument for Ohio State 28 or, you know, Iowa 10, but I'm going to go 38-10 Ohio State to be safe.
I picked a bigger blowout beginning of, I mean, especially last week. Now that I've kind of taken a step back, really analyzed this team and thought about things, I do think this is the game where, like I said, the frustration can absolutely boil over within the locker room. I don't want to speculate that. I think it's unfair to the players. I'm just saying it could happen. I'm not saying it will happen. I think Iowa gives up a touchdown on the first drive. I think Iowa adjusts well after. And I love that 38-10 prediction. But I'm going to go 38-6. Sean, I can't pick him to score a touchdown. I mean, Ohio State, we talked about their offense, Sean. Their defense is top 10 defense in the country statistically as well. It's the only team in the country that has top 10 offense and top 10 defense. And I can't pick Iowa to score a touchdown. I can't pick them to score 2. I'm saying if they want to keep momentum going for the rest of the season, they need to. But with the product on the field and what we've seen, I mean, I want your take. I mean, can you blame me for not saying they can't score a touchdown? It seems like a tall task at this point against this talented defense. And when I asked Kirk about what they've kind of keyed in on offensively to help change the, you know, take the steps, he's brought up the Ohio State defensive line out of nowhere. So that tells me he's incredibly worried about the Ohio State defensive front.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's going to be, you know, like I said, if you keep it close in the first quarter, you know, midway through the second quarter, I think that sets the tone. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's going Ohio State's way that makes me think that the final score won't be super pretty. But, yeah. You know, that's crazy to think, because, I mean, I don't think we've ever had a podcast where we've thought like this, you know, we were this pessimistic.
You know, but my counter to that would be, Sean, are we being pessimistic or are we being a realist based on what we've seen?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it's just, there's nothing that we've seen right now. I think it's a big opportunity for Brian. And look, I don't want to speculate on Brian's job comparison, Sean, or anything like that, but if there's a game where he can at least win back any sort of credibility to the fan base, it's to go out there and have a great offense performance against Ohio State.
Yeah.
So yeah. For Sean Bock, David Eicholt, 24/7 Sports, HawkeyeInsider.com. Be sure to stay locked in with us, and we'll be back post-game on Saturday to break down what all happened.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.